Hello and welcome back to Marketing Insights. I'm Charlotte Johnson, CEO of Drew & Rose and your host on our Marketing Insights podcast. In this episode, we cover the 10 misconceptions around how to really transform your conversions, regardless of whether you're B2B, B2C or direct to consumer. All of these tactics and tools that we cover will give you nuggets of information and tools that you can take away to help improve your marketing conversions. Joined today by our digital strategist, Adriana.
Hello, everyone.
And here we're going to really kick off with one of the key things that came out of our conversations with our clients and also conversations in our Marketing Moments events, which is like, how do you really know when your prospects are dropping out of your funnel? And this is something we talk about quite a lot, you know, in our office as well.
Yes. So noticing when people are dropping out of your marketing funnel is very essential. There's multiple ways to do it, and there's so many tools to have. One of the things is having a very secure tracking system. This is like having all your UTM codes, your events created on Google Tag Manager, and using heat maps with some tools such as Hotjar.
And you touched on something really like crucial to this, and that is UTM code. So just, you know, tracking the channel and each channel's into landing pages and sort of using your GA4s and dashboards only allows you to drill down into the channel. Whereas using really targeted UTM codes, you'll be using or could use a different UTM code for every single social post, for every single advert, for every piece of content that goes out, for every button on that content. So you can really drill down into what really happened, like what really works. And that sort of granularity of it will really help understand exactly what is working, but where people are dropping off.
So there, I feel like there is no magic wand for this. You need to cross-reference from different tools and different ways of tracking, because even though you might think that you have the best click-through rate on your Google Ads Manager, when you have a organized UTM code strategy, you'll be able to see how many of those users actually arrive to your page. And that is the real click-through rate that you need to be recording.
Yeah, it's so true. I think in the changes with GA4, it's really important to set up events and categorize what you deem engaged or a bounce or really there. There is or always has been and probably always will be discrepancies between the ad platform, you know, which has a vested interest in you spending more money versus the people that actually got there. For me, I care more about actual people rather than vanity metrics, which I know we're going to cover in some of the later topics. Another key couple of tools, we touched on Hotjar. Hotjar, if you haven't used it, it's fantastic. You can get 3 pages of your website for free, and then you can do the whole website. I think it's around $60, $70 a month, but well worth it, because you're not just getting your heat maps, you get your click maps. You can see which pages and where people are dropping off. And the tool that I really like is watching the videos of how people are using it and comparing that to all the different devices, different browsers. It does take some time, but it's well worth that time investment of someone in your marketing team really starting to analyze week on a weekly or a bi-weekly basis, where are you losing people specifically from your website or your landing pages. HubSpot has a great dashboard when set up correctly. Power BI are really great dashboards if you're using Microsoft products. We now actually probably use more Power BI dashboards for ourselves and our clients than any other type. Personally, I'm a very visual person, so I prefer to use a system called Funnelytics, which is totally generated by UTM codes and tracking, and it visually maps out your entire funnel and system, and you can change your date range and watch in with a system called Flow of where all the dots are actually dropping off. What it does do is allow you to map and track what's happening, and it will do that in a visual way. You will then need to click into it, drill down into it. So even if you are using a system like Funnelytics, you do still need your Power BI dashboard or your scorecard to really see where things are dropping out. I think from a targeting perspective or like a results perspective, it's very easy to get caught up in all the different types of metrics. And one of the exercises we did in our Marketing Moments event recently was look at the top line report or exercise you need to provide. And I'll attach the visual to this in our blog on drewandrose.com. If you actually just combine everything into one set of results, so you'll have along the left-hand side, you would have five rows and it might start with reach, then it will drop down to engaged, then it would drop down to people that actually landed on your website or landing page, people that have stayed for more than 10 seconds, and either data capture or marketing qualified lead. And next to that, if you then look at your waterfall dropout, what is your numbers and your percentage dropout? And alongside each of those percentage dropouts, starting with the one where you're losing the most amount of people, next to that, we say just create one action, one task for that week that allows you to plug that leaky bucket so that you're not losing more people from that part of the waterfall. This exercise done repeatedly will not only decrease those percentage dropouts, it will give you a really clear indication at which stage you are losing the most amount of people. Now, as marketers, you can drill down to that and have a look at other insights. So, you know, if you've got a high engagement rate, but actually you're realizing that your bounce rate is really high and people aren't staying for more than 2 to 10 seconds, either your targeting is incorrect or the messaging when you land on the site or the landing page is incorrect. And you'll need to test and learn on a couple of those things to trigger it. And as you click into those, you'll have more insights, you know, you'll have deeper insights. But just starting at top level numbers, grouping everything together will tell you where, you know, where you're going well, where you're doing well, or you know, where you're not doing well, because it can be overwhelming to really understand, you know, how do we really know where prospects are dropping out? And just using this simple waterfall exercise will really allow you to answer that question and then make use of all of the other insights you have under them. So the second topic we covered in this series was what source is really driving your conversions? How do you find that, and how do you then make the most of it?
Yes, that is very important, especially if you are looking at your media budget and want to know where you are going to put the most money. Usually, everybody wants to go and put money to where there is more conversions. So this is where we go back and talk about those trusted UTM codes. So with UTM codes, you're able to see exactly which source and which campaign a prospect or a user is coming through to your landing page with. This, plus the combination of using Google Tag Manager events, will be able to get you to know which platform, campaign, adverts are interacting in your funnel and at what point. So for example, if I have somebody that came from a PPC search advert and they arrive to the page, I will know that. And if I can see how many of those clicked on our Find Out More button, which is the next stage or the next action that we wanted them to do. Although this isn't 100% reliable, it will give you an overview of where most of your conversions or activity happens and comes from.
The true nature of a source is also quite difficult to find. And there is no magic wand. There's lots of things we can talk about that will help you clarify, but regularly you will see PPC, paid search, SEO, and remarketing as your top tools or your top sources of conversion. That's because they're either coming back in when they're ready to buy, or they're actively searching for your service or product. And that sort of lead cycle will be a lot shorter because they're already ready to buy. That doesn't mean that the other channels you are, you know, working on are not working. They might have been the start of the funnel that captured their attention or put the brand or the product on the radar, and then they got, you know, we get easily distracted and multiple notifications are coming up all the time. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the source that you have tracked using your UTM codes is the only reason it worked. It does help when you're trying to balance out where to put your budget, and you would always weight your budget to those areas that are working. But when we've done tests where we've seen that PPC, remarketing, and SEO were the tools that were deriving the most amount of conversions, when we then stopped all other activity, social, above the line, email, all of the other organic ones where, you know, you're interrupting someone's day, those leads and conversions went down. So those tests are really also important, not to just remove something or to not include it in your marketing strategy. The research previously by Google and still now in like waterfall mindset marketing, the 7-11-4 rule still is very valid. And in fact, I think especially on B2B, that 11 touch points turn to 18. So the majority of the time, the source that you're tracking is only the last few touch points. Alongside the source, you also want to look at the trend and the correlation between, you know, increase of followers, increase of organic engagement, increase in ranking from your SEO strategies. All of those having those incremental gains and incremental increases will no doubt impact the level of leads that come in. Another thing to add there is when you're thinking about the source of your conversion, not to be too literal and take that mindset of this is an ecosystem that we have to keep quite balanced in. And there's, for me, there's always a correlation between the more we do well consistently and proactively, the more marketing qualified leads we generate. So the third topic in this series and the event that we recently just covered was how do we then optimize and improve channels that are not working? And how do we define what that not working is? And what can you do before you cut that channel out?
Well, Charlotte, when we start our marketing funnels and our campaigns, it's important to first start advertising in a new platform with a broad audience. Obviously, it's still your target audience, but you will be narrowing it down based on performance. Then after a few weeks, if it's not creating that level of interactivity on the platform that you need, you should start making or reviewing your creatives. Are they worthy for someone in that platform to interact? Are they reflecting your campaign, your benefits, your pain points? So at the beginning, when a platform isn't working for you, I genuinely think that it's first to look at what is happening in that platform before moving to maybe what is happening on your landing page or in other parts.
Yeah, it's a really good point. You really need to go into the details and understand all the little levers that you can pull to make something work better. So it's not just, oh, you know, LinkedIn hasn't delivered leads in the same way PPC has. We're just going to stop spending on LinkedIn. Actually, it will always deliver less, but it will deliver more quality. So a good example of the timeline to look at this is really around the 8 to 10 weeks is a good sample. Anything before that could be skewed. So I would always like, I prefer to see data of over 8 to 10 weeks to really before we make a decision on whether a channel or activity is right for a particular brand in its particular funnel.
Yes, I agree. It's also important to see that in that 8 to 10 week period, if you are testing optimal time and place in that channel, testing multiple ways of approaching, for example, on LinkedIn, it could be either using static adverts, your average creative, or if you should go for a more lead gen form, for example, or a PDF download. There's multiple ways to test within that funnel, and that 8 to 10 week period is a great time to look at them and see where you can change your creatives or change your messaging to fit what your goals are in the funnel.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I mean, just don't assume that what you do on one channel is going to work for the others. In fact, I think be drastically different from channel to channel and test and tweak you know, within that channel, not within the whole funnel. One example for a large tech company we were working with is on some channels, their brand is quite a dark background. So we did some A and B testing with it with light backgrounds, which isn't really their brands, but it had a, you know, 7 to 8% increase just in engagement and click through from advert to landing page. And the landing page also improved. So small tweaks in different parts are really, really worth testing.
Yeah, I do agree with that, Charlotte. Sometimes we create a whole campaign based on the complete same branding, but we forget where they are going to appear. And sometimes a creative that will stand out and look amazing in one channel will get lost in another. So that is something that needs to be factored in when you're choosing at your channels to test on.
And when you're planning those channels, you also need to remember, is this a channel where I'm interrupting someone's day? Or is this a channel where they're already searching for it? And your creative, your messaging, your tone of voice, your call to actions should be very different for those two different types of behaviors.
Yes, and that for me brings us to the next topic, which is how to determine if the right people are on your landing page, because that comes through all the way from which channels you are advertising to then what is on your landing page website.
So for me, you need to be really clear on what your bounce rate is here. And for us, we always track whether someone's on the site for more than 2 seconds. And if they're less than that, that for me is then a bounce. And if they're over 10 seconds, they're really engaged and you really want to focus on those people.
Yes. And the way that you can do that is by creating an event on Google Tag Manager. And there are timers that you can create so that whenever you're on your Google Analytics, you can get the exact amount of people that have arrived more than 2 or 10 seconds.
Yeah. And then again, Hotjar UTM tracking is a really good way to see that, you know, just allocating a couple of hours every 2 weeks to really understand that, because you'll start to see the trends in the behavior. You can analyze that and record it. And with this topic about, you know, are the right people on your landing page, and the previous topic about how to optimize channels that are not working, I always recommend for marketing teams to create a playbook, a conversion playbook, because over a year to 2 year period, you're making so many tweaks and changes to deliver those incremental gains. It's really difficult to remember and note every single change you made and whether it worked. So by creating a playbook, which is just genuinely recording all the changes, whether it worked, what you've done before, it allows you to review it. It allows you to do that, to deliver business continuity for future teams. And it also really helps prove why you've done certain things to your seniors or board members or people that you need to, you know, report to. The interesting thing with a playbook also is that something you tried a year ago may not work, had worked then, but it may work now because you fixed other things in the funnel and you'll be even more sophisticated in what you're doing. So other channels that you've tried, maybe it's targeting or generating those inbounds into those landing pages, or even downloads and things that you've put on those landing pages before. I'm never really afraid to go back and test something again in a different time period. So another thing that you need to test with your landing pages is if you are getting a high bounce rate, i.e. people are coming not saying more than 2 seconds, double check that everything you're putting in your adverts, your messaging, your content is relevant and relates to what people land on in that first frame. We often find that tweaks to that first line or even duplicating of landing pages so that each advert is relevant to the first message they see on the in the first frame really improves and increases the engagement rate of a page. Another thing just on mindset and thinking about that waterfall, with landing pages, you really don't want to try and get everything up front. It's like marketing is just a bit like dating. You're just doing enough to get them through to the next stage or the next date. You don't need to bombard or like totally pack out your landing pages with too much information. Generally, it's simplified messaging, one clear call to action. The next area we covered is how to remove barriers to buy. And ultimately, barriers to buy come at every stage of the funnel.
I completely agree. In this digital day and age, people are used to effectiveness, quickness, quite a short attention span. So having a barrier to buy, you really need to go into the shoes of who are arriving to your landing page and see it through their eyes to see what type of information might be over requested or what could possibly stop them in their track from getting all the way through your funnel.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think some of the examples we've seen recently was when you get towards the end of the funnel, there's a lot of pressure on marketing teams to get as much data as possible. And ultimately, you really need to keep those forms as short as possible. And if you want to build up that data profile later on, then you can. But just getting that data in, making it really easy to download or to for gated content, you know, keep those forms really, really short.
Yes.
With barriers to buyers, especially around certain platforms and their algorithms like LinkedIn, are really encouraging people to stay on the platform. So actually you do better on LinkedIn from having the lead gen form and download within the platform so that the person stays there. You still get that data rather than comparing that to trying to get people to leave LinkedIn. So by capturing that data from LinkedIn, you can then put that person or prospect into your email nurturing flywheel.
Exactly. It's important to note that if you see a level of engagement all the way until the end of your funnel, but you are not getting that purchase, sign up, or conversion, you might need to look at the clarity of your messaging at the end of the funnel. Now that you have a shorter form and you have made it as simple as possible, is it clear to that person what they will be getting at the end from giving you their email or their data?
Adriana, thank you so much for joining me again on our Marketing Insights podcast.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.